You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. As Brian Colziel joins us from the Sabres Radio Network. Brian, how you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. The Sabres, on paper at the start of this year, you're like, this team looks like they're an improved team. And here we are, unfortunately for them, and they're basically the exact same team if you look record-wise, and they have been for the last few years at this point, Brian. And I'm sure there's lots of frustration in Buffalo and the fans, the organization, the players. What do you feel has not occurred this year to allow them to improve where they were hoping to improve?
Well, I think they definitely early on got hit with the injury bug very hard. And I know that's going to sound like an excuse, but I'll start there. I don't think ultimately maybe it's in the end what might be the reason for the whole season being if it's heading down the way it's heading. But they started with some injuries. Last year they make a big trade with Ottawa with Dylan Cousins getting injury prone. Josh Norris back in return as the big piece of that prize. And he starts the season and gets hurt on opening night and just recently returned. Now, when he came back, he had 3 points, 2 goals, and an assist in his first game. Looks like he's been a really, really nice addition to the offense and has sparked the offense in terms of his creativity. So when Josh Norris has played, it's been extremely limited, but so far, at least it seems like maybe there's potential there. But we haven't seen anything long-term that has shown them that he can stay healthy. We know that was a big piece of maybe why Ottawa was willing to let him go in that trade. Probably, though, if I was going to take anything beyond injuries, you know, they've been without Jason Zucker for a while, and ironically enough, he's likely not going to play now here tonight. He hit his ankle really hard against the boards last night against Calgary in the second period. He's been very, very good on the power play for Buffalo. 5 of his 9 goals have come there. He's also been a really, really good spark plug around the net, and I feel like the guys, the younger players, feed off his energy and his kind of oomph around the net in terms of working hard. That's one thing this team doesn't do all the time is work hard around the net. They maybe create the chances, but then they're not there to finish them because they don't have that, I think, strong ability to really play hard and win those battles in front. But it's been their defense. I mean, if you look at what they've been doing in terms of goals against, they're the worst in the East and one of the worst in the NHL. It's 103 goals against, number one in the East in terms of on the bad side of things, worst goal differential. But they're 30th in the league in terms of goals against average, 3.55. That's one thing that Lindy Ruff and GM Kevin Adams talked about over this offseason, that, look, we have to get better defensively. They traded J.J. Paterka, a potential 30-goal scorer, sending him to Utah for defenseman Michael Kesselring. Kesselring, again, injury bug. 2 different injuries now that has kept him out for the time. But they do have a lot of talent on the blue line. It hasn't shown up in terms of defense, in terms of good defensive play. All 3 goalies, which is a saga in itself, haven't played well. So I guess I would, if you're looking for me to pinpoint one area, it's still that they can't defend and they can't get good goaltending.
Well, speaking of goaltending, I found it odd when the GM's like, oh, you know what? I talk to the players. They all like it. I've talked to every goalie around the league. I never met one who's like, ah, I love this 3-headed monster. Guys aren't playing. like Alex Lyon played a lot to start. And now I think I looked, he's made like 2 starts in the last 15 games after starting. I think it was 11 or 12 of the first 17 games. And, you know, you got Luukkonen, you got Ellis. Who's going to start tonight? And is there one goalie that you feel most confident can give them a consistent effort?
So Lindy Ruff hasn't said yet of who's going to be in tonight. I think just because of the travel and everything overnight, they really didn't have any sort of like morning announcement of it. My guess is that it's going to be not Luukkonen. It's usually what we try to do when we're trying to guess the goaltenders is figure out, okay, well, who's not going to be in? Because there's obviously 3 guys to choose from. Lyon played the third period last night, played okay. He didn't face a ton of shots. He did make a couple of nice saves, so I could see either him or Ellis going in. Luukkonen fought the puck quite a bit last night. He was pulled after 2 periods. That was the reason Lindy Ruff thought that he deserved to come out after it was a 5-3 game after the second period with Calgary in front. This 3-headed monster, I think you're right. It has been a tale of guys aren't able to handle not playing regularly. Alex Lyon played 9 of the first 11 games of the season when Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was hurt. And Lyon, no surprise, played very well in that stretch. Out of those 9 games, I would say 8 of the 9 were very good, or to the point where at the end of the game, we're sitting here saying, well, the goaltender gave you a shot to win at the end of this night. They claimed Colton Ellis off of waivers from St. Louis. They really liked him, and they had to have another goalie in-house to start the season because of the injury to Luukkonen. And they had actually Georgiev in here, and he ended up being sent to Rochester and now going to go off to the KHL. He's had some bad numbers with his time with the Sharks and the Avalanche, so I don't think there was any high expectations of him being any good. But now they bring in Ellis, and he wins his first NHL start, and then he plays 3 in a 4-game span and does very well. He gets a 3-1 stretch there, but then again, he has one bad game, so then he kind of goes to the bottom of the rotation, and then Luukkonen comes in, and he played 4 of 5 and played his best stretch. It seems like these goalies are playing their best stretch when they're actually able to play and get in the net on a semi to regular basis. But when they come out, it takes a while in this rotation to kind of get them back in. Alex Lyon went 20 days in between games in terms of real action, other than a 6-minute span in Colorado and a game that he was pulled. And Lindy just pulled him just to really give a spark plug to a team that had fallen down 2-0 early against the Avalanche. So Lindy Ruff has publicly said that it is very, very difficult to manage. He says he already is not a goalie coach. He relies on the goalies and the goaltending coaches to really help with his decision-making of who's fresh and who's not, and his analytics department for that. But he already has kind of said, look, it's hard to know who to start when there's 2 sometimes. Now having 3, he knows that it's not the best situation for all of them. And let's face it, all 3 goalies have said, look, when we play more, we're going to play better. So this 3-goalie system, to me, it just can't work well. And also, too, it also is maybe not providing somebody that should be in the lineup that could be, because Buffalo right now has 3 goalies and they're using up a roster spot on somebody. Noah Oslin was sent down to Rochester of the American Hockey League just 2 days ago because Buffalo needed an extra D for this road trip because they were only carrying 6 on the trip because the injury of Michael Kesselring. So now you've got players that are trying to develop that probably have deserved NHL time that are now back in the AHL, and you've got all this back and forth jockeying with the roster because Kevin Adams has kept 3 goaltenders. So as publicly as a head coach is kind of begging for his GM to do something about these 3Ms, I feel like Lindy Ruff has done it at this point.
Yeah, and then you throw in Devin Levi as another guy in the organization. So they've got a lot of goaltending here, and you know there's lots of teams around. So if you were looking at one, is Alex Lyon the obvious one to move?
I think so. I think that they feel like in terms of the highest ceiling, I think they still, at least of the 3 that's on the NHL roster right now, I think they still think Luukkonen has that. I think that they're still trying to figure out ultimately where Ellis fits, if he has potential to maybe be a number 1 someday, or if he could just be a number 2, or maybe ultimately he's not an NHL goalie. But I think they liked him enough, they were intrigued by him enough to claim him off waivers, that they quite haven't maybe know exactly where he fits in yet. Lyon, I feel like, because he's had tenure elsewhere, had some times here with Buffalo, you kind of know what he is. So I can think that he, even though he wouldn't get you as much if you moved him in a deal that Luukkonen would get you more, I think that would probably be the likely move. And you mentioned Levi, who's been playing in the AHL. Ultimately, in the end, I think they are hoping that he ultimately takes the job from all of them at some point. His development started off very strong. Then he didn't handle the NHL well. He went back to Rochester 2 seasons ago, got down there. We know he wanted to be up. Then last year, he had an outstanding regular season, put up as good of NHL numbers as any goalie in the last 20 years, but then didn't have a good playoff round, didn't really handle the pressure well, and Rochester ended up getting bounced in that American League Calder Cup playoff. So they're not quite – I don't think that Levi is exactly where they need him to be for him to come in and be the number 1 right yet. But ultimately now you've got 4 guys essentially that at any point maybe they could think could rise up and be the 1. I think Luukkonen still would get you the most in a trade if it's amongst the 3 guys, if you're going to move one of them. But I still think they like him the most as of this moment, just because they feel like, you know, he's proven that he can at least play the boatload of being a number 1 goaltender before. But all 3 numbers for the Sabres, in terms of if you want to look at any of the analytics or any of the save percentage or anything like this, none of them have been good. And, you know, it's partially on the goalies because they aren't set up to succeed, in my opinion, right now because of this rotation.
Brian Koziel joins us talking Buffalo Sabres. The other name, Brian, and it's been out there, you know, especially with all the guys who have signed extensions for their teams, and he currently hasn't, Alex Tuch. Now, I know he's from the area. He loves the Sabres. But if they miss the playoffs again, he's looking and say, man, would I sign here long term? What do you think happens between now and the deadline? Is it either he signs then? If not, they got to trade him?
I think they have to, because I think there's too much value that just letting him go at the end of the season, like that ultimately was what turns out to be the most prized piece of the Jack Eichel trade with Vegas. And if you let him go for nothing, I mean, that trade is just going to look like an absolute colossal failure. It probably already could be argued that it has because of just the talent level of Jack Eichel. The Sabres themselves, we know, you know, set themselves up to get themselves to be in the position to be in that lottery that year when McDavid and Eichel went 1-2 to guarantee themselves to get one of those two very, very talented players. You guys obviously all know about McDavid. So, you know, even in some sense, whatever the consolation prize was to landing Eichel, that was supposed to be the franchise-changing moment for this team. And I don't think there was ever a question that Eichel wasn't talented. They added Sam Reinhart, of course, too, to go with Eichel. Yeah. Like, that was supposed to be the 1-2 punch. And now they've both been traded. Eichel away to Vegas, Reinhart away with Florida. Ironically enough, they've both won cups very quickly elsewhere with these other teams. You know, the Tuch thing coming back was supposed to be one of the prizes of this Eichel trade. Tuch from Syracuse, from the area, grew up a Sabres fan, always dreamed of putting on this uniform. He has said all the right things. I give him credit. I'm surprised that there hasn't been much more frustration out there. I think there's a piece of it that ownership is saying, well, look, Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin make this number. We don't maybe consider you to be at that level yet. How can we actually offer you more? And then, of course, the easy argument is, well, the cap keeps going up. And look at all these comparable players that are at Tuch's level that are signing for $10 million and $11 million a year. Of course you're going to make more than Tage Thompson, $7 million per season. Like, that's just what's happening elsewhere. So I got to think that there's a little, you know, battle going on there. I think Kevin Adams, if he sticks around long enough as the DM, and who knows if that's even going to happen to make this work, I still think it's taken too long. He said last year at the end of last season's season-ending press conference that priority one for this team was to get Alex Tuch back here signed. He's a good leader. He does so many good things in the community, on and off the ice. He wants to be a Sabre. And, you know, let's be brutally honest here. How many 30-plus goal players in the NHL, if you did an honest poll that said, I want to play for the Buffalo Sabres, I'll count one, and it's probably Alex Tuch.
Yeah.
So if they screw this up, I mean, for how many times we've sat here and said, is this rock bottom? Is this rock bottom during this drought? I mean, you have a guy that actually is, you know, an all-star level kind of player that wants to be a part of this organization, and you're going to mess this up? Like, that to me, that might be the new rock bottom for this organization.
Which leads me to my final question, Brian. When you look at the direction of the organization and where they're going, it's the same owner. And you know what? They got the right guy in Dermott for the Bills, and it really seemed to turn the organization around because they were kind of floundering for a long time as well. And not as long as the Sabres, but pretty long time. And, you know, the Sabres have brought Kevin Adams. This is year number six. And there's really been no improvement. Year three, they went up to 91 points, missed the playoffs by a bit, and you're thinking, okay, like, they're close. And then they've just gone downhill ever since. They brought in Jarmo Kekäläinen. Is he the quasi-GM? What's going on in that relationship, and do you think he will eventually be the GM?
I got to think that it's another couple of losses away here from maybe making it happen that Jarmo would end up being the general manager. I cannot believe that Terry Pegula has let it go this long. I mean, in the National Hockey League, where half the teams make the playoffs every year, and we see teams flip so quickly from going from a bottom-dwelling team to a playoff team. I don't think anybody's saying, well, oh, the Sabres should be in the Stanley Cup Finals right yet. No, that's not what their lineup is. But in the NHL, if you're not at least able to find a way to make the playoffs in now what could be 15 seasons here in a row, I mean, what GM in pro major four sports would continue to get the job after 6 years with zero improvement? They are in last again in the East, where they've been for quite a bit of Kevin Adams' tenure. I still think he didn't do enough. I know Tage Thompson, I don't know necessarily if he publicly meant to say it, but it got out publicly that he didn't think that Kevin Adams did enough to improve this team. He doesn't seem to be able to handle these moments when Buffalo is facing adversity. Last year, they went through a 13-game winless streak. He did nothing. No one was waived. No one was traded. There wasn't even the token, you know, firing of an assistant coach or anything like that to try to shake things up. He then, at the end of last year, said, you know what, upon reflecting at that, you know, I wish I would have done something. This year, they've gone through some very, very poor stretches, and he's been frozen in action here. And this three-goalie saga seems like something that could be an easy solution that might be at least as a symbol that the GM is alive and understanding that, hey, where you are in the standings right now is unacceptable. So I'm baffled that Terry Pegula has let it get this long. He's very loyal. He and Kevin Adams have an extremely close relationship, one to the point where I know fans are probably upset to the point that Terry Pegula has Kevin Adams' ear. And there's a lot of fans that say the owner shouldn't be in on hockey-related decisions. We think there's maybe a lot of – that's a reason maybe why there isn't some strong president of hockey operations or some former GM that's got a ton of experience, because a lot of times they'll say, I don't care what the owner has to say about this. You tell me what my budget is and I'll go do it kind of thing. And I don't need to check in with you each day. The Sabres really promote that the GM and the owner talk all the time. I think that's the way Terry Pegula likes it. Clearly right now, his relationship in terms of success on the ice, it's not working at all.
No, not at all. Brian, thanks so much for the rundown, man. We appreciate it. We will chat with you again soon. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the game tonight.